Accession number 28753, reel number 6.
Mr. Marshall, reel 6.
You see, in them days, you wouldn't where you told to go. See, well, I was on loan. It would have been a big 3.7 gun in the back in you, and a big wagon, 3 ton of ammunition, and seats for 10. Well, I was on call, see, because it was, people was running short.
Which regiment were you in at this time?
Right, no, 40, 78th, 9th regiment. I've got it. Here, I've got the horse I'd known. I've got the discharge and everything upstairs. I'll just off with a record of this one. I joined the 47th Daylight Territorials Searchlight Regiment. And then when they were brought up the local, just up the old way and out there, and then I got 6 order in a nutshell. I volunteered to go abroad. Well, we were stationed in Derby, I was waiting for orders. My own regiment eventually went to France. The DLIs, but I went to the D-Bolt and then do me 6-3 months driving heavy gun vehicles, and I got posted to Wales in the 78th Yeomanry. It was 79th Division Yeomanry, I think, and then from there I went abroad with them. What brought from was from there, from Wales, Swansea, that's how we were. And then, well, we got my wagon and everything, and then we went up to Burton-on-Trent, stopped there for a while, and then we went in the Greenock, went abroad, it was within a couple of weeks, and then we come in, we're just in time for the landings of Algiers, eh? We just hung back a bit while, you know, because you called what he is. When I seen them ships going up, you know, it's heart-rending. It's heart-rending through the night, you know.
You saw ships sinking, didn't you? You described that.
It's hot.
Because there wouldn't have been much you could do for the sailors and the soldiers on the ships.
They knew, like, they had an idea. Because I said I just missed the boat, because my best friend, we tried to get us on with him because he was a corporal to look after the transport going over. And he said, not a lot of, if you'd a strike, whatever it could. But anyway, that's a long story short, and that was it, Algiers. And when you got to Algiers, you swapped into little boats, like ferry boats, like it. To go the rest of the 30 miles or so up to Bourne and Philippeville. And that's where all of it was done from there on. And then, in a nutshell, as soon as the war was finished in Italy, before Italy, we got a.
We just got to where you'd landed at Italy, and I wanted to talk a little bit more about it.
Yes, we landed at Naples. Well, them days, you know, it was all sunken ships. You had to see it. Some ingenious fella burnt a hole in the side of the ship, went down that way. And he made it, and it was a short cut in, so on the land. And when you landed at Algiers, you transferred to the small boats, standing like that.
I remember you describing that, how packed they were.
And then you had no chance. If we were it, no chance. We did get it, another ship. With a transport on, my mate, he got walked down the gangway and he got blew up. But anyway, that's beside the point. And then we just settled down from there and just waited, get organised. And went up to, first time, I see I do more business with the regiments than my own. I was with the 5th Armoured, the Mill 5th Armoured.
The 5th Armoured Division?
5th Armoured, in Algiers. I went up there, just outside the insurance, when we took it. We were standing by, we were all over there for the sweep through.
What was your role at this time?
Just an ordinary driver.
You were still driving?
But, as I said, I've not broken, but I was one of the best ones. Because I was always here, or sent for Marshall, you know. And I was, well, I was going on all over. And then, down there.
What else do you remember about Italy?
Italy, we went up to and got a Anzio. We landed at that, by land from Naples. We waited 2 or 3 days, waiting for the go. Seaburn, remember Seaburn? Well, pictures of Seaburn, and back of Seaburn there, all hills. Well, Anzio was just like Seamarber, little cobble down. I always remember the Seamarber. And then, you know, when you come to look there, there was a big hospital next to the big ammunition dump, you know. Because it was only a small place. It's like Seymour. My house is called Seymour. And then we park, we come up there and got in. Well, we see, well, what the Germans was in Valbontoni in the hills. That was when, I think, they thought in France, I think France capitulated. Well, I think I was in there then. Well, what they used to do with the Germans, they used to just level 1 hour in the main street, in the same hour, and then, because it was we struck a kind of bit of that, and we pulled out, and we just went back up to Trieste, because the Quaifa was acting the goat, you know, that column kind of. Dictator, he had all his troops lined up on Trieste. It was nearly touch and go, you know. But the New Zealanders, they come straight up.
What do you remember about that?
Well, you see, it was all sealed off, Trieste, and then they haven't got what do you call it, the dictator?
Mussolini.
No, not Mussolini, no. He was finished. Oh, I seen where he got wrong. He got wrong, hanging down upside down, him and her. In Milan somewhere. And then, see, when we were like, we were in the Trieste, like, by ordinary, because, them days, you know, oh, you got, I forget now, but anyway, we were in Trieste, on the football stadium there in Trieste station, and it was a bit like, all the bridges were all sealed off, you know. The Aussies had them all sealed off. He had no chance of getting through into Trieste, but he wanted it for himself. Tito, isn't it? Tito. He was acting the goat. He had a kind of few troops lined up at each bridge and already pointing. But anyway, he took the water in and they warned him, like, and that was it. And we just messed about there. Went to Trieste and don't dodge about a bit, then I come on leave from overland, what you call overland leap, that's what we call a leap, overland. Our own unit was in Trieste. I was with another unit then, see?
Can you remember who?
With a black cat. The black cat's division, 56th London Regiment. I think it was the 56th London, that was. And then I was with them then. And then we got settled down there while the war was finished then. And I went on leave because I'd been abroad for nearly the 4 years. And I went by overland. Overland was, you went from Milan through Switzerland, so many a convoy in troops, and then there's a lodge for you when you got there.
How did you feel when war was over?
Anyway, a bit relieved, like, but still, it's queer as things went back to normal. I was amazed. In Italy, went back to normal because they had a little bit of it, but not a great lot.
What was Trieste and other towns like at the time?
Oh, lovely. No. It was what you call Trieste in them days. Was nobody owned it. It was a free, not owned. I forget, this is a proper name for it. And Tito thought he had a right of it. It was a free city. Tito thought he had a right of it. And he had them all lined up as long as I've ever gone. But the horses put his bait up. And now they're all sitting quiet and down. And then they started giving us a bit of leave. I was one of the first ones to go overland. He went through, overland, through Germany, Deutschland. To Cali and got the boat over to home, and I was in the one from Cheshire Regiment. I was in the Cheshire Regiment then. I come under that jurisdiction. The Cheshire's 26 a foot, I think it is. 26 a foot of regiments. That's it, I always remember that. And went there and went from a station on leave. Because in them days, you had orders that if there were any delay, you had to watch the police, you had to watch the railway station. Or bad weather, if it was bad weather, you were delayed 24 hours, you got an extra 24 hours. It was all timed, well organised. And then, twice I got the 24 hours extra when I got home. Because it used to go down the station, such and such cancelled 24 hours. And then I went back.
What was it like going back home after so long?
Yeah, I don't know. I forget. You know, when you're young, you just need out a bit more security, feel more secure. But other than that, just back to normal. Because we were being young,
How old were you then?
I was only about 21 then. That's a photo that I got took. And then I was only, 1919, I joined up in 38.
So you wouldn't be very old, just now. No, I wasn't. How did the rest of your family react when you got home?
That families meant nothing, MDS, if you get me. It was families and families, not like the deer. You spread out your families, look, sort of more or less look after yourself. But see, but the love wasn't, I call it love, but today I call it bad behaviour. See? But we had a, what you call, love, was rough and ready. It was on the table there. And if you went there, well, you never got nine. That was our life, 7 days. Mm. And then during the war, well, it wasn't bad, right, really. You know, we grew for a pint of beer when you were on leave and that. And then that's it. And I went back. And my time had to go back. And I went back from King's Cross, I think, and that. And I got all the way back we'd been shifted in the meantime. We got shifted to Milan. We shifted into Milan, and I got all the way back to Milan five days again. And I was bored. I had to turn around and go back home. I took Class B release.
What was that?
That was being a builder. You got preference to. You see, Class B release. That was it. And I come back on that. And then, lo and behold, I was about nearly three weeks on the move to get back home. We went down to Rome in a train, and, you know, we were going to fly from Naples, that's it. And then I found out later on, we were what you call an unnecessary journey, wasn't dated, it was only shoved in spare. Checked them on leave because we were going to fly from Naples to home, and then we got to turn on it down to Naples again and cancelled it. Said no more flights. We said getting into October then, you see, and then we had to come all the way back up to Italy again. And then I went to Milan, and we had a transit camp there, and we got one. Trains through Switzerland, to Cali, and then I took home.
How would war affect Italy and the towns that you travelled well, through and the people you met? How?
I think mostly, good natured, of course. I had no choice because they were always begging, see. And, in fact, surprised it all cooled down.
Was there any animosity towards you from the local people?
No, on the contrary, no, just everything was all in, you know. Because you got, maybe because family, when you went out for a little, you know, bianco or something, you know, talking, and you got invited, you know, see. And then that was it. It was like that all till I come home. And I come home overland. It just shows you, when we first went out, we had the age of the band. Aliens come, you know, band playing, the convoy coming in, and the band and that, and you're waiting on hand and foot. We must leave us up or come back. We got back, come back in pitch darkness in Cali, couldn't find our way out. Need grub. It just shows the difference. Heroes come. When we come back this way, they come back. I come back to get demobbed. Hey, I come all the way back. Now we got. I was demobbed when I got. Yeah, and I can't come all the way back. Heroes. I'll always remember that. Italy, they're coming because in Germany, you know, they were all organised then. All waited on hand and foot in a transit camp. And then you sit, and you've got 5 days like that, so many miles a day, and then you see them come back.
What was it like travelling through France? Was there much signs of war?
Sometimes it was well, the road is the main roads to get them in. There was damage, of course, but the soldiers down. It wasn't as bad as what I thought it would have been with the bombardment that it took. Otherwise, it was all right. And, of course, I had time to clean a bit up now, and one or two buildings. Oh, it was a shame, you know. Lovely buildings.
How did you feel that you were leaving the army?
Oh, no. Just like saying, ta-ra. when you're young, you didn't think about I might have been different, couldn't care less, but where I got, you know. And that was it.
So what happened? How were you demobbed?
Well, come to the Cheshire Regiment in Chester.
Chester, yeah.
That's all I went for. Got demobbed from there. Got me suit. With me muck. Me children. They got all that gear. And then I come home. Then you got a sports outfit, you got a trilby hat, and you got a muck, big muck, you know. Them days were all modern them days, and that was your out, and you got on a train, come back home, and that was it, finished.
Did you get a pension?
I got one when it was through my ears. I got one straight away because with the guns and I'm still getting it.
Looking back, are there any of your comrades that stick in your mind?
I will say, without fear or favour, I deal it. Be strong mates. I had a mate there, like, he used to drive his wages 1 week, I used to drive mine the next week. That's the kind of comradeship it was, because we never spoke, you know, we were like for a drink and that, but it's queer how you get closely knitted. I can't explain it, but you banded together straight away, all for one and one for all, and it's a great attitude.
And what happened after you were demobbed? What about returning to civilian life?
I had the usual procedure of going through the door plate, through the door plate, because you didn't. They couldn't find it. They said, "Oh, we said you left a gun labouring, right?" He says, "I said, what do you mean labouring?" I said, "I've come all the way to get you here. Well, I need jobs for you." So anyway, I got a job. Watson and Lucas in Sunderland, they were repairing bomb damage, and then I got on. Then after that, messed about with them little odd jobs, and then started to build Pennywell, Springwell. That was the first estate to be built, and then that's when from then onwards, just Grindon. Was nothing is Grindon, just farms, right down to Hilton Lane, to Hilton, there, no houses in, and then that side of and Pennywell was flat, no houses, because it hadn't been built, it was all fields, it hadn't been explored. Clear that.
What was an employment like in Sunderland? Then you said you had to go to heaven with it.
Oh, well, this we had job and I went job and for, you know, just till things were all organised, and then it was job, you can get plenty of job. After a while settled down, the jobs come fast, furious, you see. In the, as every time went by, oh, they couldn't get the bricklayers for them.
How do you think your experiences in the war affected you in later life?
Well, I miss my comrades. That's in a nutshell. See, me, we had a rough upbringing. And I didn't miss that. If that's being fair, I didn't miss it. When I come back home, I still didn't miss. Yeah, I was my own man, sort of style. And then just got on with it and got back into the routine of your mates at home, and then I'd think of your mates. I still think about the one or two, like, you know. One of them who were playing football on afternoon, and then we went away, and the next got killed just after four of them, you know. And that starts when you feel when you're lifting them in the wagon, you know, saying you were only with them about two hours ago, and that, you know, that's when it feels. And I had some good friends, mates. Oh, outstanding. But there were some nasty ones, mind. There was some good and bad over there. But I come through life, army life, laughing. And I honestly say, I shouldn't say it, but I had no care in the world. You see, and that's what sold out here. I mean, we were at a place called, there's a prison, a big prison there. We had some South Africans, coloured people, come over just to show them. And then one of them went berserk and killed these four mates in a tent. And then when the sergeant comes in, says, "Bobby, I want to lend you a rifle now." I said, "What for?" He said, "We've got a firing squad on." Yeah. And then and he says, "You talk about getting on breakfast and that before you did." He said he got a cold bacon sour steed. And he got another shot him. Executed. Because it was, life was cheap with the South Africans and that, because they didn't know any other. I'll never forget about that, because the sergeants were there when they had pistols, you see. Well, they come for me rifle, lends my rifle, and for the shooting man in the prison.
So you'd had a rich life in the army.
I think so.
Seen a lot of things.
I've seen a lot of things, and I've seen it. And there's a lot was worse off. I mean, and it worse off, you know, bombarded for days on end. We had one or two days, but you used to love them. When the one was at Anzio, see, Valmont Tony, and them his big villages back in the hills, the Germans was in the hills. Well, they used to, well, there was a notice. What they used to do in the hands, you know, they used to go around spreading diesel on the roads to kill the dust. And if you went out of that bit, you got a shot fired, you go. Because because the Germans could see it along with her, and they were straight away. And then, lo and behold, we put our wagons in here, the officer, he's so officer good and tell, put them in here for the need. Wagons parked up, we got disturbed, we got called up again, shift the wagons, we went into the forest, shifted them all in, and next minute it was flattened. It was flattened, that bit where all the wagons was. Warmer's wagon was flattened because it couldn't start it. So that just shows you what I missed.
Yeah, we could easily have happened to you.
See, it was tricky, seeing you. Watch what you're doing, and otherwise, and then.